The words of Diana Darby can cut like a scalpel or strike like a blunt instrument, but the blows are softened by her disarming whisper of a voice. It could be the last gasp of a desperate soul or the warnings of a child under the covers.
Will you dream that you are riding on a horse made out of glass and it shatters underneath you and you can't find your way back and you'd like to be a dancer and your breasts are double D and you smile at all your teachers cause you want so bad to please.
Darby went to college in Southern California and briefly flirted with a career as a television writer. She moved to Nashville several years ago to strengthen her songwriting skills, and her efforts paid off with a new CD, a collection of dark stories called Naked Time. Darby says she began to write as a little girl, scrawling out poems on cocktail napkins.
I think I've always been a writer, and that was my way of expressing myself from a very young age. That was the way I felt comfortable. I didn't really feel like I had much of an oral speaking voice, and so I found my voice on the paper and on the page. That's where I felt safe.
Did you want other people to read this?
No, it really wasn't so much for other people to read. It was just I would literally be sitting at a restaurant or somewhere with my family, and I would have words and lines come to me, and I would write them down.
Now, you're pretty well known for exploring the dark side of human experience. Do you think some of those early poems reflected that same character?
I do. I think for me that I've always sort of grabbed or reached for my pen when I was feeling sad or low. And more recently, it's been even more angry feelings have come out, which is new.
Well, you know, it says here that I've got a press release that says you grew up in a dysfunctional family. how so?
Who didn't? Well, there was a lot of arguing in my family when I was growing up. Between my parents. And I think, you know, that affects you. I think it's more for me that as I've gotten older, I realize the effects that things in my childhood have had on me that at the time I don't think you really take in the same way.
Junebug sitting on your front porch. Where'd you leave your smile? Did Daddy take it with his bottle? Did he leave you all alone there, child?
I'm writing a lot of things about my parents that I don't think I would have written 5 or 6 years ago, that I don't think I was in touch with within myself, that are now starting to surface.
Does the writing itself put you in touch?
It's sort of almost an after-the-fact thing. Sometimes I have an emotion come, and I'll start writing a song or a poem from that. And then it's only after I sort of come back out of that state that I go into that I realize, oh, that's what that was about.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you would say that, because when I listen to Junebug, I really hear, I mean, you've managed to maintain the child's voice throughout.
Yeah, that song came about, I actually had gotten a photo of my mother when she was about 3 or 4 years old. And she was standing on this porch in this little kind of cottony dress, and she had this really strange look on her face, like as if there was a sadness there that I didn't think a child of that age should have. And that's where that came from. And her father was an alcoholic. And so I sort of imagined myself as if I were sitting in this car across the street looking at her, and what would be going on for her.
Junebug, dream about tomorrow. When you wake up, you'll be old. Will you have a cake and chocolate ice cream? Will you have your daddy's hand to hold? Fly, Junebug. Fly.
In a couple of different songs, you talk about taking my hand. Father, take my hand. Will you have daddy's hand to hold?
Mm-hmm. The daddy issues.
The daddy issues.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of that for me. There's a lot of abandonment issues that came from my childhood with my parents. Their relationship was such, you know, when they would argue, my father would go and stay downtown a lot. So there was this constant him coming and leaving, and I was very close to him. And so there was a lot of, you know, deep abandonment for me every time he'd walk out the door.
Are you close to him now?
Yeah, I am somewhat. You know, it's just, it's not an easy situation. I think that's what I'm talking about, yeah. Those kind of wounds. Although it was painful, I didn't think it had affected me the way that now I know it has.
Has there been anything in your music that's changed the way you feel about things?
I think that in the process of doing this writing and these albums, that it's a very healing experience for me, that I am learning that I have a voice. And that by acknowledging, you know, these wounds and writing songs like Ragdoll and acknowledging those parts of myself, that I am healing myself. Yep. And hopefully other people that listen.
I live in the closet. You play with me when
what I find stunning about your songs is the way that they work very well as a dialogue, they work as stories, but also at some level as a monologue. And I guess I'm thinking most particularly about Ragdoll. It could be a brokenhearted love song, but I keep imagining this internal dialogue. You know, rather, the oppressor here may not be a thoughtless child or a heartless lover, but maybe a cruel self.
Yeah, bingo. Actually, when I wrote Ragdoll, it was coming from a person in a relationship with someone else. This was more how I felt I allow myself to be treated in a relationship. And it was months later that I realized it was me talking to me.
So I'm trying to imagine Diana Darby as a writer on the staff of Full House. and it's just not working for me, Diana.
It didn't work for me either.
I guess not. How long were you there?
I wasn't there very long. I was only there about 2 months. You know, it's a funny thing this has come out. I'm glad this hasn't been the focus, because I think people who see that think, oh, she switched from writing TV to writing, yeah, you know, this. And that really wasn't it. I do have a very strong sense of comedy, and I love dark comedy especially. And, you know, I'd graduated undergraduate, and then I got my master's in writing and directing at SC at the film school, and I was writing screenplays, and I started writing some TV. And from there, I got into this program through Warner Brothers, the writing program they have, and they put me on staff at Full House. So I really didn't have a lot of say in where I was going to be put. Uh-huh. They kind of just stuck me there.
Well, now, you say you like writing comedy, but it hasn't shown up yet in your lyrics. Is there a way, or do you feel there's a comic sensibility here that really does kind of play into your writing?
Yeah, there definitely is. You know, whether it was on these particular songs on this album, there are other songs I've written that definitely have a dark comedy side to them.
You still think you'd like to do that for a while, take a break from songwriting and do some comedy writing for a little while?
No, I mean, I definitely wouldn't go back to TV. I always say when I'm too old to perform, then I'll start writing novels. So
there are several novelists out there who weren't happy to hear you say that.
But well, I don't know, but I mean, it might be a long time. Like, Jagger's still going, so you never know. I might be out there when I'm like 70, but I figure like when people don't want to look at me anymore up there, then I'll start writing some novels.
You've been sitting in your corner crying alone. Daddy's little girl has finally come and over home.
Diana Darby, her new CD is called Naked Time. It's available on Delmore Records, and she spoke with us from member station WPLN in Nashville. Diana, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, she's picked herself up. You've had lovers who have kept you tied to a chair.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Frank Stacio.
Like a spider hanging up.